Austin Organs has made instruments for the First Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and as far away as the Forbidden City Concert Hall in Beijing. Now they're rebuilding an organ for a church in Hanover, Pennsylvania. That's the 8th largest organ in the world. Think of an organ as a series of wind instruments, some of them like flutes and others like trumpets. Instead of having several players, one person controls all of these with a keyboard. To understand the process, Mike Fazio, president of Austin, shows me a model of how an organ works.
And inside the instrument, you'll see square pneumatics. They're roughly 5 inches tall and a couple inches wide. And they have a bellows type affair that's controlled by an electromagnet that we make here in the factory. And when you press a key on the console, it causes the pneumatic to collapse, and that moves a wooden tracker, and that tracker moves and opens a valve and lets air go into a pipe.
He's been working on organs since 1987. He's also a voicer because he gives the voice to the pipes. To find out what that means, we head down to a small, dimly lit room with two rows of pipes and a small keyboard.
Some folks in the factory call this my man cave. This is a voicing room. When a pipe is made, it is absolutely mute. It has to be taught to speak.
That's what Fazio does here. He cuts a small piece of brass that's called the tongue. He makes the brass tongue cover an elongated tube sticking out from the pipe, polishes it.
Everything gets polished.
Curves it at just the right angle and wedges it into a slot with a hammer. Then when the keyboard sends a gust of air through the pipe, the tongue should vibrate at the right frequency to get the sound you want. When that's done, he tries it to see how it sounds.
Isn't that beautiful? No, the answer is no.
Then he starts a long process of refining the curve of the tongue, sometimes cutting new ones until it's right. After that, all the pipes are tested to make sure they have the right voice. And because pipe organs are huge, they get taken apart and assembled again at the destination. Making parts for organs isn't an easy process to master. But Fazio says there's a lot to do, so you're never really bored.
You have to be a musician, an artist, an engineer, an electrician. One thing that young folks coming into the business often say, that they're never bored. There's always something new to learn, something different, especially in a company as large as Austin.
And you don't need to be an expert when you start. Sarah Bryan has been making parts of the company for 4 years now, but she came from a very different background.
I worked in the restaurant business, and then I worked for an insurance company before that. A friend of mine said I had something very good for you to do. It's like arts and crafts, and I ended up loving it.
When she first started, she would spend an entire month or more just making one part. She admits it became quite repetitive, but organs have lots of parts. Once she mastered one thing, she'd move on to something else. Now, pipe organs like these don't come cheap. Fazio says they range from $250,000 to $3 or $4 million. Electronic organs have gotten closer to replicating the sound of pipe organs without costing nearly as much. But Fazio says it's just not the same. For one thing, pipe organs sound different with time, and that's actually a good thing.
Think of, a person singing. No matter if they're a professional singer or the best singer in the world, they're not going to generate sound that's going to be absolutely uniform from 1 second, from one day to another. We want to have variety and the different colors. And that is the nature of the pipe organ, is that it constantly challenges your brain to think in new ways. And there's where the creativity happens.
And that creativity is still in demand. Fazio says they have enough orders to keep the company occupied for the next few years. Alan Yu, WNPR News.